1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 12. All right, let's see if we can do this together, because I got to do it too. Just roll your mind back to this morning where we pushed the tape player off. And let's push it play from that point on, and let's see if we can keep going. I don't want to review too far, because if I review too far, we're not going to get it. And I want to finish this, because I feel strongly about this fish gate, and I want to get back to the fish gate, but I just feel like I can't go to the fish gate until we go here. Because the fish gate is extremely important. Extremely important. And I believe as we move post-COVID, isn't that something? It's almost like BC and AD now, isn't it?
Yeah.
For us. Isn't it crazy? Pre-COVID, post. I was just thinking the other day, we were talking, I forget who I was talking to, we were talking about 2019, and I went, you know what I said? I sure would like to have 2019 back. I said that. I mean, I don't want to go back, but I mean, seriously. And as we move post-COVID, I believe this question that God laid on my heart this week is important. What is important? And more importantly even than that is, what is most important for us as believers and children of God, a part of the family of God? And this morning, I got into a few of the I started to go down that road, you know, of, I got quirks. You know that. Nobody's nodding their head, but you're thinking it right now. Yeah, you do. But you know what? So do you. And some of my quirks, eccentricities, and peculiarities may rub you the wrong way. And guess what? Yours rub me the wrong way too. I'm just being honest. Can we be honest with each other? What does the Bible say? Put away all lying. Now, that doesn't mean you just blast people all the time. You got to have some tact. You know what I mean? You got to know when to say certain things and when not to. You got to forbear, the Bible says. That means to stop, cease, or hold from proceeding. Okay? We have to forbearing one another. It's not talking about the world. It's talking about us. And if it's talking about us, who has the problem?
Us.
We do. Forbearing one another in love. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love. Mm-hmm. Which is self-sacrificial. Which means you come first. Oh, man, does that go against the grain. It does. And we've been raised that way for quite a few generations. We have. I'll give you the definition of eccentric. Deviating or departing from center. What is center? Center is balance. And we can all get out of balance at times. We can. We can get out of balance. We can leave center. And we have a bend to go that way because center is a give and it's a little bit of both. It's give and take. And if we are going to survive post-COVID as a body, man, there's got to be give and take. There's got to be give and take. The problem is we are smack in a world of take, 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 take. Do you know what burned me out in the prison ministry up in Canada? And I'm going to be the first to confess to you that I was cooked when I came out of Canada after 10 years in the prisons. You know why? Because inmates are good at one thing, taking. And I don't mean out in town. I mean, when you're in there, it's all take. And it sucks you literally dry. It did. It literally did. Give and take. Balance. I'm going to say some things about Paul that may kind of, I don't know. I don't know if it'll ruffle your feathers or not, but I'm telling you right now, I would not want to work with Paul. Neither would you. Trust me on that one. The more I look at the man, now, don't get me wrong. God used Paul because at that time, only a Paul could do what he did. Okay? So I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm just saying, there ain't no way I would want to work with that man. And you said, how could you say that? Because I'm telling you right now, the man was relentless. Mm-hmm. Unstopping. Amen. Did this morning, when Pastor read those things about him, look at, let's just go to that. I'm glad you read that passage this morning, Pastor, because we're going to read it again. Let me show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just look at this. Just look at this. Can you relate to this man? Can I relate to this man? Can any of us relate to this man? Absolutely not. We have nothing in common with this man, except Jesus Christ the righteous. Okay? In that we are brothers and sisters with him. But as a man, nothing. Why? Verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Do you really know what that is? We read that like we just think we know what that is. Let me bring you up here to this front of this thing. Put you over this bench. Bare your back and take a belt, just a belt, my belt. It's 1.5 inches wide. That's it. It's about 2 feet long. Might be a little longer than that now. But take this belt off and 39 times hit you as hard as I possibly can. And that isn't even a Roman whipping.
No.
Okay? That's just with a Walmart belt. It doesn't have things maybe attached to it to help things along a little more. Or a handle to get more speed out of it. And it doesn't say how long it was, because the longer it is, the more force is applied once the whip comes down across the back. And the thinner it is, the deeper it cuts. 5 times. 39 times. Do the math. Yeah. I'll be perfectly frank with you. How many people survived that? And that's just the first verse. Okay? Thrice was I beaten with rods. Not this. He was caned. Remember that kid that was caned a while back over in Thailand? He only got
for wax, for malicious destruction of property. But they say a caning in Asian countries, the cane is this long piece of cane that is just, someone who knows how to do it can kill you quickly with a cane or a rod. All right? Three times with the rod. And he doesn't bother to tell us how many roddings he got. All right? Once was I stoned. And I believe he died here. I believe he died when he was stoned. Because he said, whether they're in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. But I heard and saw things that I was not allowed to talk about. I believe there was one person that went and came back, and that was Paul. I really do.
Amen.
He was stoned. Thrice I shepherd. Three times he was shipwrecked. Pastor talked about not wanting to be out in the ocean when it's rough. But he doesn't say he was out on the ocean when he was rough. He said he was shipwrecked.
Suffered.
Yeah. A night and a day I have been in the deep. He was in the water. Mm-hmm. Remember when they made it into land? It doesn't bother to tell us how long it took for them to get into the land, but it looks to me like he was in the water for a night and a day. In journeyings often, I don't like traveling anymore. I'm all traveled out. All them trips to and from the Arctic, I'm just traveled out. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, how many of you would drive down to the west side of Baltimore at 1 o'clock in the morning, get out of your car and walk down the street? Any of you brave enough to do that? I wouldn't without a Marine Corps fire team. To be frank, I don't even know if I'd do it then. In perils of mine own countrymen who had taken an oath not to eat until they killed him. In perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, watchings, losing sleep, hunger. Saturday, I didn't eat lunch after playing airsoft. And when I got to the fellowship, I was Esau. But in all seriousness, was I hungry? Do I look like I know what hunger is? I mean, really, hungry. Thirsting. Here I am looking at Nestle Splash complaining about iron-tasting water. Yeah. Now, I've been cold a few times. I got sweated up one time skinning out caribou and then spent about 15 miles on a snowmobile coming back into town with a side wind at 30 below zero. I got cold that day. I can go where you are, Paul, on this one. Because when I got home, I had to get in my bed. I had to get my wife to put every sleeping bag in the house on top of me, and I shook for 2.5 hours. I probably should have gone to the hospital, but I self-medicated. I got under all those sleeping bags. Naked. Wow. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily. You know, I'm starting to realize the responsibility of just one church. And have whined already about that. When he said, the care of how many? All the churches who are constantly writing him and contacting him and saying, help us, help us, help us, help us. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. Do you want to work for that man? I don't. He was a Pharisee.
which means he was a zealot. Before he was saved, he was a murderer. He was a persecutor. And in Romans chapter 7, he says, in me dwelleth no good thing. Paul wasn't perfect, and neither were we. When they went out on the first missionary journey, a young man who wrote the book of Mark, a young man, John Mark, went with them. He was working alongside of this man, Paul. I'm not throwing stones at him for going home. Okay? No, I'm not going to do it. Because I don't know if I would have done it, to be perfectly frank with you. And in Romans chapter 7, and we don't have time to go into that tonight, Paul lays out the battle that he had in his life with self. Because when we start talking about what's most important, what is the battle that we have?
It's with self.
It's with self. It's with self.
Yeah.
So before we deify Paul, because he was not a deity, was he the greatest minister I believe ever walked on this earth? Yes. Did he have faults like all of us? Yes. He's not God. He made some mistakes, just like we all do. And I believe he made a mistake with John Mark when Barnabas said, let's give him a second chance. And Paul parted with a friend he had gone to prison with and was beaten with over it. All right? We're going to come back to Paul. In the Bible, there are examples of people who picked things that were important to them. And I just jotted a couple of them down because what I want to do is I want to get back to Paul and another man who you're going to hear something totally different from me tonight than you've probably ever heard. All right? This is the one I wrestled with. This is the thing I wrestled with on the living room floor all day Friday. Read. And wrestled with it. And looked at it. Closer. Put the tank on. The respirator in. And went down. Make sense? All right. Who's the first person that made something important that shouldn't have been? Adam. I'm not going to blame Eve, because God don't blame Eve. I don't know why, but he doesn't. Because the Bible says she was deceived. And my question is, and I don't want to get off on this, is where was Adam when that happened? Why wasn't he protecting his wife? Mm-hmm. Because it wouldn't have happened had he been there. Problem. Right? Yeah. Problem. Ask yourself that. Wouldn't have happened if he'd have been there. Because he knew. That's why the devil didn't go after him with the deception. Because he knew there was no deceiving him in this area. But at the same time, Adam made a choice about something that was most important to him. And what was that? It was Eve.
She was the most important thing to him. Eve was the most important thing to Adam.
Call it chivalrous? I don't know. But he ate that fruit with his eyes wide open. Why? Because Eve had become the very most important thing in his life. Ahead of
the Word of God.
Because what did God say? You hearkened unto the voice of your wife. Where had Adam put Eve? Right up there. The next one was pretty close in time. Cain. What was the most important thing to Cain? Jude 1:11 describes the way of Cain. What was the most important thing to him? His way. It's my way or the highway. The most important thing to Cain was, I'm doing this my way. The most important thing to me is to accomplish this the way I want to. Not what God says. Because God had said, blood sacrifice. It had been taught by example and passed down by the parents. Because Abel did it right. The next person, Esau. What was most important to Esau? I was Esau on Saturday. The most important thing to Esau was his flesh. If that's the most important thing in our lives, we are, particularly as Christians, in big, big trouble. We can commit any sin. From that point on, any sin. Esau. Another guy, and I'm not getting these in order, and we're not going to all the passages because I'll get tied up in them and we'll be there forever. The next guy who saw something that was more important was this. Achan. What did God tell the people? Don't touch the accursed thing. Okay? Don't do it. Don't do it. And Achan said, I saw a goodly Babylonian garment and a wedge of silver, a wedge of gold. And what did Achan, what was the most important thing to Achan? Scratch, man. Scratch. Money. Money. And if we, and the Bible even says, money is the what? Root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's right, Pastor. The love of money is the root of all evil. And then what I want to get to that we're going to flash back forward into the New Testament. Because honestly, I don't see some of the things. I don't see some of the things that I mentioned with, and they could be problems in our lives or in your lives. I'm not seeing that with what we saw with Adam and with Esau and with Achan and with Cain. But there's three guys right here in Genesis that I believe struggled with something that I believe all of us at one point in time or another. And I hope this makes sense to you and it ties it all together. And that is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Three generations. Son, father, grandfather. Okay? What was most important to them? Think now. Don't answer. Just think. What is a common thing that we saw in all three of their lives that stood out in spite of the good things that happened in their lives, in spite of the spiritual ground that they covered in their lives, in spite of the testimony that they were,
there was an area in their lives that seemed to blot out a lot of the good. Something that they valued more than anything else. These three men. And it's interesting that like father, like son did the same exact thing. He keeps answering it. I want you to think, you're exactly right. It's good. It's good. Did you hear what Pastor said? What was it? What was it? Tell him, Pastor.
Their life.
Their life! What jammed up Abraham? He went to Egypt and said, she's my sister. Garbage! It wasn't his sister, it was his wife. What did Isaac do? She's my sister. Wasn't his sister. It was his wife. And there was a blot on both of those men's lives because the most important thing to them was their life. And you say, what about Jacob?
I'm telling you.
When Jacob met Esau, what did that stinking yellow belly thing do? What did he do? He put the women and children in front. Who does that? I'll tell you who does it. Somebody that the most important thing to them is their life. I'll tell you right now. I'm not putting the women and children first. You're going to run me through, or you're going to put a bullet in me before you get to my women and children. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if I'd have had him there. I'd have met you on the plane alone. But I got a plane in my own faults now, so don't be a part. All right? Because I like that too much. Won't go there today. Their life. Their life. Mm-hmm. Now, let's flash forward.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Let me see if I can find it here in all these pile of notes that I'm not going to get to. I got to skip that. I got to skip that. All right, let's do this. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We are going to finish this tonight. Last words. Last words. Remember who's talking. Remember who's talking. Remember who he's talking to. And remember where we are. Remember where Paul is. In prison, in Rome. Look at chapter 4. Paul is writing to a young minister, and he says this. Man, I am scared to even go into this, but I'm going to do it because the Lord laid it on me. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And I believe we are there. Okay? But watch thou in all things, endure affliction. Now, this is coming from, who's this coming from now? A man that you can't possibly know. You can't possibly understand, and neither can I. Five times he was laid to the bone on top of everything else. Okay? Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered. He is dying now. Right now. And he knows it. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. Boy, that is the truth. And he has the wounds to prove it. I have fought a good fight. I have fit. Let me stop there. And he has the wounds to prove it. But somebody said something about me and hurt my feelings, and now I'm mad at him, and I ain't coming to church no more. Give me a break.
Amen.
Give me a break.
Amen.
I mean, come on. That's where we are in America, in our Baptist churches. Because I've been in them, and I've heard it, and I've done it myself. God forgive me. God forgive us. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Can we say that? Because before I throw any blame on him, I'm elevating him. I am. I'm not elevating him to Christ's status, but I'm elevating Paul. He is the greatest minister that's ever walked on this face of this earth. But he's human. Because I really don't want to talk about him. I want to talk about somebody we're about to get to. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You better believe it. He's got it. He's got it. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And here we go. You ready to launch? For Demas hath forsaken me. Now, we are AD 64, we are at the height of persecution. This is a man who experienced what we just talked about, who is about to die. And I'll be honest with you, no one wants to die what? Alone. No one wants to die alone. Okay? So that I'm going to give Paul here. No one wants to die alone. Yet, he does. He does. But is he alone? No. Because I believe as the sword was making its sound through the air, Paul was already there. I do. I really do. But let's talk about this next guy. For Demas hath forsaken me. He left. He left Paul alone. When Paul believed he needed him what? Most. Okay? And you have to ask yourself, Demas, why did you do this? Because I'm telling you right now, I don't care what these evangelists say, I do not believe Demas was lost. Demas was a saved man. He was a fellow laborer. He had already been in prison with Paul the first time. He had been with him for 5 years.
can't. So get out of the fear minds right now that Demas is a lost man, because he's not.
Amen.
And look at what it says. Demas hath forsaken Jesus Christ. Is that what it says?
No.
Demas hath forsaken the faith. Is that what it says?
No.
He says Demas has forsaken me. It's personal. Is what Demas said right? No. No. But at the same time, I am not going to throw him under the bus.
No.
And the Greek showed it to me on Friday after flipping in that floor like a fish for hours going, God, where was Demas spiritually? Where was he spiritually? Because God is not the author of confusion. And it came. Boom. For Demas hath forsaken me. And this is what a lot of preachers have done over the years, particularly evangelists, having loved this present world. The word world there in the original Greek is aeon, not cosmos.
Yeah.
Cosmos is a thing, and aeon is pastor's favorite word. It is what kind of word, Pastor? It is a time word. Demas didn't love the Romans. He didn't love the evil of that day. What did Demas love? Just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His life. His life.
Amen.
And you know what he did? He went back home. And sadly, I think that's the last word we have on him. Because in the very same sentence it says, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. He's listed with them. All right? Only Luke is with me. So, what am I trying to say in all of this? Okay? Let me explain it to you.
There was a point in time in the art. You can't go no higher on that map right there. I'll show you where it is. Look at this. I was standing in a shed. Right there. Standing in my shed. Punching the wall, saying, God, I want my life back.
What was I saying? Was I forsaking Jesus Christ? Was I forsaking the faith?
What did I want? I wanted my life back. I didn't want to go back on God. I didn't want to go back on the faith. I just wanted my life back.
I hope that makes sense. So, does Demas want anything other than what everybody else wants? No. But what does God teach us in His Word about our lives? What are we to do daily?
Yeah. And we have to do it daily because every morning I take it back again.
And the closer you get, the more you have to die.
Yes, sir.
I hope Demas is the one that 26 years later, John the Beloved said was a good man. Only he called him Demetrius. Demas is short for Demetrius. I'm just throwing that out there. Because John Mark got right. And in the same passage, Paul says, bring him. Boy, you talk about having to eat your words in the holy word of God that'll be there for eternity. Paul ate his words when he said that, and he knew that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
If you're saved, your life's not yours anymore.
No.
Mine's not mine. And I was wrong up there when I said that. I was wrong when I said that. That was sin. It was a human saying what humans have said who have served God for a long time. I want my life back. And that's what Demas said. And he went home. And my question for you is this. You can take it back. You can take your life back. But you can't have the relationship with God that you could have if you did. You can make what you want and your life the most important thing when all reality, it's what God wants. You see, Demas didn't want to die a martyr's death in Rome.
Yeah, he probably saw something.
Aeon, time. You know what he wanted? He wanted to live longer. He wanted to live longer. And the last thing we have in Scripture about him, a man who served with this man for 5 years. I couldn't do it. He did. The last word we have of him was, he said, I want my life back, and he took it back. Is he lost? No. No. But we have nothing else in here about him. Except for maybe 3 John. And as we go post-COVID, you don't have to ask yourself that question. Yeah. What is the most important thing to me as a Christian? And I think that is, what is my relationship like God the Father through Jesus Christ.